How are we all doing? Are we all having good days? Are we all ready to do the podcast?
Good. I'm good. I have had haircut.
Oh. What's it like now? Describe.
Hang on. Wait for Logic Catch to load.
I want the description, not the
I love my computer, man. In your own time.
Man's eating roast chicken for breakfast.
Living it large, mate.
I know, right?
Living it large, having it large, having it, living it large.
We got hair reveal.
We're waiting. Oh, there we go. Yeah. It's good. A lot shorter than it was. That's good. Suits you. You got your little quiff going on as well.
I don't think Louis could hear any of that, but
good. Yeah, no, you couldn't.
You what?
That's a no.
We were just saying it suits you.
Yeah, okay, that's definitely what you said.
No, we actually were, and then I went, oh yeah, I don't think Louis heard any of that because I realised you were putting your headphones back on, and then you went, you what? And we were like, yeah, no, he definitely heard none of that. We were actually genuinely talking about how it suited you. And Adam was talking about how it was a lot shorter than it was.
Yeah, and you've got a little quiff going on as well. And that was literally it.
It was just the way I went, I don't think he heard any of that. And then you just went, you what? that was the joke.
Hello and welcome to Sometimes Video Games. I'm Adam, and I am joined, as per usual, by Charlie Walsh and Louis Birtwistle. How are you today?
Ooh, both at the same time. Nice.
I'm getting used to doing it. I'm trying to force myself to do it because I realise what happens is I go, I am joined by Charlie Walsh. How are you today? And then he goes, yeah, I'm all right. Blah, blah, blah.
We have this huge conversation.
Yeah, and then we completely end up missing you out or introducing you about 10 minutes in.
I'm doing all right. I'm chilling. How about you, Charlie? Are you all right?
Yeah, man, I'm good.
Well done, everyone. We've
you could sound it.
We're great at conversation.
I have been awake for all of 20 minutes, Louis. Listen.
What time did you go to bed last night, Charlie?
5 a.m. Well, 5:15.
Work.
And I woke up at whatever time I messaged you.
I don't know, man. Like 3 something, right? 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
3. Oh, well, that's a different one. Hold on. This is 3:25. 3:25. You messaged us saying I'll be there in 5 minutes. But have you woken up? Have you done all of your?
I mean,
I'm awake. Weekly customs.
My weekly customs.
Daily customs. Whatever it is that you do when you wake up. Have you brush your teeth, brush your hair, just shower, drink a cup of tea.
Brush my hair. Never brush
breakfast. To be fair, I very rarely brush my hair as well.
Also, no, I've done none of those things. I've taken my medication.
That's the good stuff.
Which means I can eat in half an hour, half an hour to 45 minutes, and then. Yeah, the rest of it will follow.
What's the plan for eating? What's your next thing?
I don't know. We haven't really got anything in. It's been pissing me off. I want to go to a shop, but I can't be arsed, and there's nothing really in. We've got bacon. I might make bacon sandwiches, I guess.
Yeah, that works. That works.
Yeah, I know, but I want more.
I understand what you like, because I'm... At the moment, I spent my last, like, £2 or something. I got some, like, stuff that was going off in the co-op up the road. And I bought a loaf of bread for like 30p, which is interesting. And I bought a bunch of other stuff. So I bought some croissants so I could have that for breakfast because they were also 50p. But I was thinking, I don't have anything really for like to go in sandwiches and stuff. And I was looking, they had a load of bowls of mozzarella that were like 20p each. I was like, fuck it. So I had a mozzarella sandwich today.
I respect it. I like when the packs of croissants are going off, like, and like, it goes off now, you have to eat it now, and I'm like, that was my plan anyway, so I'm fine with that.
Well,
I was not planning to save these. These were, I was going home, I was opening the packet, and I was eating all eight on the spot. I don't know what kind of vibe you're taking.
Croissants.
Eight of them?
Yeah, light work, bro. Don't get me wrong, by the last one you are sort of going, this was probably a mistake.
Are they just like the basic ones, or are they like the chocolate ones?
Yeah. No, I didn't say pan of chocolate. Come on, we need to be precise around here. But what I'm saying is, listen, at the end, by the eighth one, you are sort of thinking to yourself, this was probably a mistake. But I'm personally of the opinion of, if you're not feeling like it was a mistake to eat the amount of food you ate, did you eat enough food in the first place?
I guess maybe fair, but I did see some Belgian buns for a couple pence as well, and I got them. They were stuff that I needed to finish on the day, and I did. I had some Belgian buns. I was like, these are good.
Like, we've got stuff in for like dinner and stuff, but for breakfast, like, lunch and breakfast, lunch, it's just
that's where I'm at. Like, at the moment, as well.
We have bacon, but if I eat the bacon, then there's no more bacon. So the eternal problem of eating the food that you have is it no longer exists post that.
Yes. I've been trying to make my food schedule a bit better, my eating habits a bit better, because I'm terrible. But also, I genuinely cannot be bothered to cook, and I think there's a lot of stuff involved in that, in terms of me just being like, just can't be bothered, and then cleaning it up afterwards. And like, I was making mints and stuff, and like, there's just fat everywhere and grease and stuff. I was having sausage sandwiches. I was like, this isn't good. This isn't healthy. This is just basically, I'm making more. I'm putting effort into making things greasy and not great. So I was like, you know, I need to not do that. I'm gonna ask your advice now. What can I cook that's not cooking, but is healthy?
Yeah, that's the problem.
I can jam stuff in the oven, which is fine. That's not a problem, as long as it's not like super greasy, because these sausages are pretty greasy. But
get some chicken from the shop, some like pre-cooked chicken. Get some pasta, you know, a bit of carbs, and make a little salad, and get some salad as well.
I was thinking about doing salad.
Easy meal.
I was thinking about doing salad. I like pasta salad. I like the, because, you know, in the supermarket, I know we've had the discussion about meal deals before, but I usually go for the pasta salad there, because I really enjoy those. I think they're nice. And I like the, like, spicy chicken pasta salad, or some, like, cheese and tomato stuff. You know, I think they're really good. I wouldn't be so against making my own, like, spicy chicken pasta salad for the week or whatever. That'd be really cool. But I also have no fucking clue how I'd do that. Like, I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I could do that, or I could just be, it's just pasta, but it's cold now, right? Like, it's just pasta. I make pasta and sauce every day because I have no other cooking abilities. And like, if I just make it with chicken, but and then make it like leave it out or whatever until it's cold, that's just pasta and sauce again, isn't it? Pasta salad isn't the same as pasta and sauce. I don't think it is, anyway.
Well,
I mean, there's sauce in it, but it's not like it's not like bolognese, is it?
I'm not a big fan. Well, to be fair, I'm not a big fan of the pasta salads that you get at like Tesco or whatever.
Some of them are not. It depends. I don't think I was really a big fan of the Tesco ones. You're probably like lambasting with the Sainsbury's ones are pretty good, and the Morrison's ones are okay. I don't like it when they're creamy. I like it when they're more tomatoey. And the spicy chicken one in Tesco, I believe, has got like loads of mayonnaise in it, which is not for me. But like, the spicy chicken in Morrison's is pretty good from what I remember. Okay. Not super spicy, but should be spicy. I don't know. You have pasta salads often, Charlie?
No.
You always go for the sandwich. I find sandwiches so boring, you know.
Hey, I find the other... I just don't like... There's just always something wrong with it.
Well, What do you mean wrong?
So I just go with the sandwich.
What's wrong? What do you mean what's wrong with it?
Like you say there's too much mayo or it's too spicy or this.
Well, it's
or
never
that.
Too spicy. Like,
look who you're talking to. So I just stick with sandwiches.
Yeah, but I find the same problem with sandwiches, though. There's either too much mayo or...
Yeah, but there's like so many different
if you were forced to eat one thing for the rest of your life, Charlie, I'm willing to bet the thing you would eat would be the colour beige.
It's a good question. What would I eat for the rest of my life?
There's nothing...
Are we talking the health implications don't count? So it's just what you would eat?
Or... Yeah, I mean, it has to be something you have to be able to live on.
I guess you the health, like, I guess you'd still, like, any health implications that you have from eating one thing for the rest of your life would exist, right? So, like, what were you thinking of eating that wouldn't have any health issue? Like, you know, like, if you were saying, oh, I could only eat chocolate for the rest of my life or whatever, like, sure, but, like, only eating chocolate does come with health conditions, right?
But that's what I'm saying. So I'm not trying to think about it smartly and go, I don't know, lettuce or whatever. I'm trying to what's it? Salad, celery. Lettuce? What's a superfood? Do you know what I mean? No, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say I wouldn't play it smart. If we're saying what's the question, but with no health implications, then I wouldn't try and play it smart for health reasons. I would just pick something pizza.
Would you want to play it smart for health reasons though?
Yeah, if it's the only thing I can eat for the rest of my life, then probably yes.
I don't know if I would. Cause like.
So you're
so
telling
enjoyable.
Me, okay. You can only eat one thing for the rest of your life, right? And the fact of the matter is the fact of the matter, but you're only allowed to eat that one thing. Yeah, what are you picking?
So, like, can the toppings change?
Blood.
No, because you mentioned pizza, right? So, but pizza encapsulates so many different things.
Yeah, just give me a margarita with sweet corn on top.
Of pizza.
I would always choose pizza because pizza one
the toppings can't change.
Oh, the toppings. Well, the first reason would be like, look, it's so varied. Like pizza can be anything. Like there's flipping chocolate pizza. So if I wanted, I could just have a pizza and then a pizza, right? But like even if you think about, I love pizza. Pizza's the best food, right? Pizza's the best food group. But so you can make. I know pizza's really like calorie dense. But you can make a somewhat healthy pizza, right? Like, just because you said pizza doesn't mean you have to go to, like, Pizza Hut and eat whatever plastic pizza they tend to serve you. Or, like, a frozen pizza from wherever. Like, you make your own pizza and then you put all, like, stuff on it, right? You put, like, hey, like, this is the one pizza I'm gonna have forever. So this has got, like, some vegetables on it to give me that, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, it's got spinach on it maybe or something. I don't know. Whatever else you pretend to put on pizza for vegetables, peppers, got tomatoes on it already anyway. Bit of meat. It's all your food groups, isn't it? It's all your food group. Pizza's the perfect food.
I mean, I agree, but you can't change the toppings. What's your answer now?
No, pizza, but I have a very specific list of toppings.
Okay.
So it encapsulates every food group and still tastes good.
Sure, but you're still eating pizza every single day.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd get bored of that.
Well, not even every single day. Every single meal you're eating pizza.
Every single, yeah. I don't know if I'd get bored of that or not. You know?
I think you would.
Maybe.
I think you get bored of anything, even your favorite things.
True.
Like, you're giving me, like, a margarita with, like, sweet corn on it. If I'm having it 3 times in a day, I'm probably bored instantaneously. You're giving me a bacon sandwich. I'm probably bored of it instantly.
Yeah, but I'm thinking
maybe that one will take a little bit longer. But
what, the bacon sandwich?
Yeah, probably. But
yeah, because I basically do eat pasta and sauce every day. I know it's not, it is pretty boring, but I basically do eat pasta and sauce every day because I'm fucking poor. Like pizza's legit my treat meal. Pizza's like, hey, I've got an extra 2 quid in my budget, I can buy a frozen pizza for 2 quid, and that's the treat. Like, I mean, I enjoy it because all pizza's good. Remember Greg's pizza scale? Which Louis?
Greg's pizzas, yeah.
All pizza's good pizza. Apart from when it's shit or too good. And even then, it's still good. Still edible. And if it's not edible, that's when it's bad pizza, right? If it's inedible pizza, bad. But everything else is good pizza, because pizza's good. I don't know. What would you choose, Larry?
Have you heard about this? See, Greg's, by the way, have you heard about this pie and match thing?
What?
Someone messaged me. So this is one of the problems with building such a specific brand for yourself as I get sent messages whenever Greg's does something, whenever the football player Jordan Hugel does something.
Sure,
and now I'm starting to get Danny DeVito, right?
Cool.
And someone messaged me this week, let me find the message, and said, bro, in all caps, I have heard an advert, Greg's evening meal thing, fucking pie mash gravy.
I'm looking at it now. On the Birmingham Mail website. Blown away by the evening menu. When you're grabbing bargains in Primark, you can now grab a bake as well as a meal from its new evening menu. Is there a Greg's in Primark in Birmingham?
Probably, because they did the Primark Greg's clothes drop, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
I think that was to advertise the fact that there were going to be Greg's inside Primark.
So yeah, there's an evening menu, I guess, here. It's got pie and mash or wedges, gravy or beans, and any cold drink. Also jacket potato and any cold drink, or a 6-slice pizza box. I don't know if that's the full menu.
Greg's pizza is a bit dead, though, I can't lie.
It's okay. Yeah. It's not the best, though, is it? It
reminds me of the sort of pizza you'd get at school.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, don't get me wrong, you put it in front of me, I'll eat it, but yeah, I'm not choosing it ever.
I'll eat it, but I'm not... Yeah, it's not... If I was like, oh, I need to buy a pizza, I wouldn't go to Greg's. Especially, it's £2 a slice. I'd just buy
an actual pizza.
Frozen pizza, which is better. A frozen pizza is probably the same, to be fair, but...
Oh, yeah, no. It is. You get those... which ones are they? Goodfellas? I can't remember which one it is. There's one specific type of frozen pizza, which is just elite, in my opinion, Pistol.
Greg's evening meal. Let's have a look at the Greg's evening menu. I want to see it. I want to see the Greg's evening menu. I don't know if it's on the Greg's website. That's kind of annoying.
I've got no idea. Like I said, that's all the information I had was someone shouting at me.
The sun. Greg's chicken goujons, which they have on the like hot to go menu.
Goodfellas, by the way. Peng.
Oh, the new breakfast menu. Breakfast box, veggie breakfast box, creamy porridge. Greg's are going hard. Greg's are going hard on their meals right now, by the sound of things. Whatever, right? I like Greg's, but I don't, man.
I really don't. It's just the pastry's horrible. I think the pastry's horrible, man.
Really? Well, compared to... Other pasties, or
and the meat as well in the pastry is also just gross.
Is this compared to any other pasty, or just in general?
I mean, compared to other pasties and other sausage rolls that I've had, yeah.
Because I don't think because we've got the option of Greg's or Pound Bakery, basically, as the sort of same thing, right? And nah, I think Greg's are so much better.
They're both shit. They're both really shit.
They're both bad.
Like if you want a good bakery that does like pasties and sausage rolls, you gotta go somewhere local. You gotta go somewhere local. Price is similar.
That is true.
The price is similar, and it's just better.
That is true. But I think compared to Pound Bakery, if you wanted to compare the two,
a little bit more expensive. I mean, if it was to compare the two, then I guess Greg's would definitely win.
Pound Bakery
is like. It's filth. It's utter just filth.
Pound Bakery is like eating wet paper. Like hot wet paper.
And it's just like warm, flavourless meat.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Yeah, like you can actually at least sort of taste the butter in a Greg's pasty. I don't like, you can at least taste some of it. And it depends on it as well. Like, I don't mind the cheese and onion is pretty good. And also, I quite like the chicken bake from Greg's. But that's mostly because it's just got chicken soup in a pasty. Like, that's all it is, really. It's like the Heinz cream of chicken soup, but they put it in a pastry. And I'm kind of okay with that. Yeah. What's your take on soup?
Oh, well, I don't know if I get soup from Greg's.
I've never had soup from Greg's. I don't know.
But I like soup.
What's your favourite soup?
I don't know, to be honest. I do really like asparagus soup.
Asparagus? I've never had that before.
I love asparagus soup, yeah.
Sounds very... I don't really know what asparagus tastes like, because I've only ever had asparagus with chicken
pie.
Soups,
my top three soups are chicken noodle, leek and potato, and asparagus soup.
Oh, Charlie, top three soups.
Good question.
It is a good question.
What are your top three soups, Charlie? I want to know.
Vegetable soup's number one.
Vegetable soup?
Mm. Vegetable soup. There's this one specific brand of vegetable soup you can get from the shop, which is expensive, so I only get it when it's on sale, but it's so good. That garden one, that's so good. Covent Garden, that one. Carrot and coriander.
Ah.
Second. And then...
Carrot and coriander is a good soup.
It's a good soup. I don't know, you know. Give me a sec. I'm going to open up the Morrison's website and just stare at it.
I feel weird with this, because I don't... This might be controversial, but I always felt like soup wasn't really a meal.
It's part of a meal.
It's part, yeah, you have it with something else, I guess. But I was like, soup, that's not going to fill me up, is it? That's just liquid, you know? Not that I dislike soup, but it's never the first thing that I would go for. I would never go, I need to get something to eat. Let's get a soup. But I mean, have been making
soup with a sandwich or something. I'm having a grand old time.
With a sandwich. Mm. Do you have soup with a sandwich, Lou?
Do I have soup with a sandwich? I have soup with bread.
True. It depends on what soup you're having, I think, as well, and whether it goes with a sandwich. So, like, I've been making my own tomato soup, which is actually really, really fucking easy to make. I had no idea it was this easy.
I'm going to guess the ingredients are tomatoes, sugar, and water.
No. I'm using a three ingredient. I guess water, I'm not going to count as an ingredient, because even though you need to use water, it's whatever, right? It's free. I do use a bit of salt and sugar in there. But the secret ingredient is onions.
The secret ingredient is tomato.
The secret ingredient with tomato soup is tomato, exactly. No, so you,
the
you
secret
like...
ingredient is prime.
It is. So you like fry up some onions, like sort of like start frying onions, then put the tomato soup in it. That's a tin of chopped tomatoes essentially in it. Then like boil it over until it's done. Then you blend it. Season a taste, I guess, right? And you put some water in before you start boiling over, but yeah, that's kind of basically tomato soup. But it's been nice. I enjoyed it, and obviously you could eat tomato soup with a cheese sandwich, right? I think tomato soup with a cheese sandwich works perfectly, but I don't think I'd go off and get a chicken soup and have a cheese sandwich with the chicken soup. Oh no, that sounds weird to me. Yeah, what's that, right? I don't know. I don't eat that much soup.
You know what I don't like?
Go on.
I have grown to dislike Heinz tomato soup.
It's okay. It's a bit acidic, isn't it, I think?
It's sweet. It's too sweet.
Mm. It's very sweet. You're right. It is sweet.
It's, yeah, I'm not big on it.
It's like tomato juice.
If you want to give me a soup to feel better, chicken noodle soup's the way.
I always like the Heinz cream of chicken to make me feel better. I don't know why. It feels really comforting. It's just really comforting, and it's so warm. You're like, creamy chicken. It's not healthy by any fucking means. You know, like it's probably one of the least. It's just all cream and chicken, but it's pretty good. I don't know. So like the chicken noodle soup is that? I don't really know what that is. Like. Because I'm thinking like ramen noodles at that point.
It's chicken stock soup with like really small thin noodles in it.
So it's ramen, right?
I mean, ramen's like a lot
ramen's
thicker.
A type of noodle, isn't it? But is ramen a bit thicker? I don't know. I don't know these noodles that you're having in there. I thought ramen was quite thin.
Well, it's thicker than these noodles.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you even have three soups on there. I think I had some tomato and red pepper that was pretty good at one point from one of those. Because I remember those big tubs. You have the big tubs in supermarkets, right? The plastic. I don't know what they're called, like Covent Garden things or whatever. No, they're like milk cartons, aren't they? The Covent Garden.
Yeah.
Whereas there's these like big plastic, like 500 milliliter tubs, I think. I can't remember what exactly the brand is, but they do pretty decent ones.
You can get loads of different ones.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I like the tub ones because you can just put them in a microwave and I don't have to think.
Yes. Yeah. Thinking is bad.
It means I can do other things at the same time.
This is what my problem is with the whole cooking thing is that I feel like it takes too much of my attention and it becomes a lot of effort to actually cook something because I have to sort of stand over it and stir things and whatever, and that's why I'm finding it difficult to keep up with like cooking in general. I just find it really difficult for some reason. Like, just really struggle with sitting there and like taking the time out of my day to cook something, and then when I cook something, it doesn't taste great because I've just cooked right random shit that isn't particularly appetizing anyway. Like, oh, I've just made some pasta. Cool, well done me. I've thrown some frozen veg into it because I need vegetables to be at least somewhat healthy. Otherwise, I'll probably die of lack of vegetables.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you get enough vegetables?
No.
No. How many vegetables do you think you eat in a day?
Not a lot.
Out of your, is it five a day or is it more than that now?
Sorry?
Is it more than five a day now? Is that what it is? It was five a day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have to say eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Eight?
Well, the thing is, the reason that number changes, the only reason there's like a number is because that's the number the government think that they can actually get people to eat. Realistically, it should be more.
How the fuck do you eat eight vegetables, like eight portions of vegetables a day? How the fuck do you manage to eat that much? I don't even understand how you can possibly eat that many vegetables. That's a lot. Right?
More veg, less meat. Better for you.
No, like, not even doing that, I don't understand. Because, like, beans aren't a vegetable. Like, what are you... How are you managing that? You've got, like, what? You'll have, I guess, something for breakfast, and then also, like, some vegetable or fruit juice, which counts as two, I suppose, right? If you've got... Well, your fruit juice or your vegetable juice is one... And then you're putting a portion of fruit and veg in your breakfast is another one, so that's two. And then I guess if you snack on a fruit, and then for lunch you have something with a fruit and some vegetables in your sandwich or something, maybe, or like some lettuce, I don't know. I guess that's five, right? You just have like lots of fruit and vegetables like every day with everything in your meal, like. Sounds really hard though, and really expensive. Like, what would you? How much fruit and veg do you think you get a day?
I don't think I get a lot. I don't even know.
Because I think like one or two from like one or two for me, basically.
Maybe, yeah, something like that.
Depending. Which is like, and that's not even every day either, because like sometimes I won't have like, because like chucking a couple handfuls of frozen vegetables in my pasta is obviously going to increase the amount of fruit and veg that I eat in a day, but like I don't do that every day and it's not the best. Like, and it's frozen vegetables, but it's whatever. Isn't it,
right? Frozen vegetables, this was something my granddad was very excited about. My granddad was obsessed with Lidl.
Mm.
Like, fully obsessed, like you'd never seen a bigger Lidl fan than him, right? Mm. And I remember, and he used to watch, like, whenever I'd go to his house, he would always watch like food documentaries that are on like BBC and stuff.
Okay.
Like he was obsessed with that sort of stuff. If it was on, he'd be watching it like instantaneously. My granddad was a really healthy guy. Sure. Like my granddad was a runner. He was a cyclist. He ran literally practically until the day he died. Like he was like big into it, right? And I remember he got so, we were watching one once when I was at his house, and I remember him getting unbelievably excited because I can't remember who was doing the documentary, but there was the suggestion that actually frozen vegetables are better because they lock in more of the nutrients earlier.
Yeah, I have heard that, yeah.
And I'd never seen such joy on his face before. He was, it was like he'd been vindicated in the biggest possible way. He was hyped.
Because he eats frozen veg, I guess, right?
Yeah, because it's cheap from
it is Lidl. Cheap, yeah, true. I just get a bag of mixed veg.
If there was some way to save money and to get stuff from Lidl, then he was there for it.
He was like, yes, finally, I have been proven correct in my love of Lidl's frozen vegetables.
Yeah. So I won't worry too much about eating frozen vegetables.
I mean, apparently frozen veggies are fine, but...
completely okay for you.
Yeah, of course. And it's something, isn't it? Like it's not. At least I'm eating some vegetables, like tomatoes in the sauce, and then a portion of mixed fruit and veg that's frozen in my pasta. I that must be two. That must be two. Must be two a day. It can't not be. And then what do I need to do? What do I need to add on to that? Some orange juice in the morning, that'll do it. It'll put my sugar rating up, but that'll do. I don't know. Breakfast full of fruit and snack on a banana during the day sometime. That'll do five, right?
Orange juice you drinking that will mess it up that much.
Oh, it's super sugary, isn't it?
Yeah, but how much are you having?
You have like a glass of it, not in the morning, but it's still super sugary. Like
I'm just disagreeing for you saying it'll fuck it up makes it sound like you're sitting there and having at least like fucking like a pint of orange juice just on the spot, just downing it, bang.
Do you not have a pint of orange juice? I've had pints of orange juice.
Yeah, but what I do is I pour about a cup's worth in anyway and then just fill it up with fizzy water.
Oh really? I don't know about that. I went to I remember ages ago I went to a festival in Leeds, and we stayed the night over, and then the next morning we had breakfast. We went to a little cafe and they were serving fresh orange juice, and it was so good. like you know how they say fresh orange juice, like it's from a carton or whatever. It was not fresh orange juice. These, they like straight up pressed the orange into your glass. It was so good. Like they'd fill it with ice after, like they like fill it with ice, like squeeze the oranges in there, and it's like, oh, what is this? Give you like a chunk of orange on the side as a slice. Oh, was so good. I like the orange juice. I mean, yeah, it's probably, I don't know if oranges are, I don't know. We have so many weird things in this country about sugar and stuff like that. I think people talk about sugar as if it's like the worst thing to have ever happened to a human being, and like you eat a bit of watermelon and you're probably gonna die of sugar overdose or something.
Sure.
Speaking of fucking things up, the news story for this week, the biggest news, I think it's probably the biggest news story, although a couple of big things have happened, including some allegations about Nintendo's work culture and Bobby Kotick being sued by New York City for selling Activision Blizzard to Microsoft, which is interesting.
Interesting.
But the one that I thought was probably going to get more out of us and in general, probably the biggest or most shocking news story is we're back on Square Enix today. Square Enix have sold Crystal Dynamics and all of the IP that Crystal Dynamics brought with them to Embracer Group for $300 million.
Not all of them. They're keeping...
all of the Crystal Dynamics properties they sold.
Oh, Crystal Dynamics, yeah.
So all of the... they're keeping Outriders, Life is Strange, and some... thing, or Just Cause. This is on the this is on the press release given to us by Square Enix Holdings. The purpose of the transaction, it's basically the company's primary assets to be divested in the transaction are group subsidiaries such as Crystal Dynamics Incorporated, Eidos Interactive Corp, and IP such as Tomb Raider, Deus Ex, Thief, and Legacy of Kain. The transaction will assist the company in adapting to the changes underway in the global business environment by establishing a more efficient allocation of resources, which will enhance corporate value by accelerating growth in the company's core businesses in the digital domain, whatever that means. In addition, the transaction enables the launch of new businesses by moving forward with investments in fields including blockchain, AI, and the cloud. It also says at the bottom here, going forward, the company's development function will comprise its studios in Japan, Square Enix External Studios, and Square Enix Collective. The company's overseas studios will continue to publish franchises such as Just Cause, Outriders, and Life is Strange. Only one of those, I believe, has a massively positive rating on like all of its games. Like, one of those, Outriders, came out what, last year and didn't do super well.
It's fine.
Did it do fine? I don't know.
It did fine. It had enough buzz when it first came. Like, it was like, before it came out, everyone was like, this, no. And then it came out, and then there was like a 2 to 3 week period where people were like, maybe, actually. And then it died again. But that's what every online game does, so I don't know how different it is.
Fair enough.
Did have music by the guy who does the Fallout songs, though. So,
oh, really? Interesting. Inon Zer, I think, is the composer.
That's the guy, yeah. I can never remember how to pronounce his name. I remember it was IZ.
Yes, he's got a weird name. An unusual name. He's got a fine name. Let's leave him alone.
He's got a weird name.
I know, right? Come on. He's got an unusual name for my ears. I don't know where he comes from. It doesn't sound English. Fine. Anyway.
Is it fine, Adam? Is it fine?
It is fine.
Is it fine, is it?
No, it's not fine. It's not fine. Get him
the
out.
The way you said
Get
that.
Get him out. I'm out of Bethesda.
The way you said that, which is fine.
Which is fine. Yeah, I don't know.
As if you were trying to convince yourself more than anything else.
I am, yeah. So to clarify, he's an Israeli. Israeli-American composer.
And is that okay with you?
No. Never. Wow.
Bad.
Will you tolerate that?
I do. There's been discussion about Marvel's Avengers.
You disgust me, Adam.
Thank you. Moving on, there's been discussion about Marvel's Avengers and whether or not it will continue to receive updates. I think
Embracer Group has been on the cards for a while.
Yes, but I think Embracer Group has said that as long as Marvel are happy to work with them, and Crystal Dynamics still, they're happy to continue updating the game. Embracer Group, by the way, in case you didn't know, used to be called THQ Nordic. And before that, the Nordic Games Licensing AB. Recently, having a bunch of acquisitions, they've got Asmodee. They bought, I can't remember when exactly they bought that. In 2021, December 2021, they hold stuff like the Settlers of Catan or the Pandemic license. They also bought Dark Horse Comics quite recently, Gearbox Entertainment. Apparently the whole of Koch Media, which is interesting, Saber Interactive, and also obviously THQ Nordic. So, like, I don't think I even know of this company. I know of THQ Nordic, but I'd never really heard of the Embracer Group. Not really been talked about that much.
But I mean, they have, like, I can't remember, you'll probably have the information in front of you, but it was something like 120 studios at this point, and 100, I think the figure was 14,000 employees.
I've got the number of employees on there. It says 12,500 plus in 2022. I don't know how many companies it doesn't actually.
Well, yeah, then adding on to that, all of Square,
which has, I remember seeing in this Eurogamer article here, about 1,100 employees.
So you go, yeah, I remember, because I remember seeing the 14,000 number, mm-hmm. and I think it was 120 studios. But like, it's one of those, it's
got a lot of studios.
They're weird. Nordic games are very weird. They just keep buying stuff, and I can't think of many things they've released.
That's a good question. I want to see if
like Deep Silver have been releasing stuff underneath them to some extent, because Deep Silver, that has Volition, so they've obviously got they've obviously got what you call it coming out Saints Row this year. But outside of that, I can't really think of any big things that have really come out underneath them. It's very odd. It's very odd that they just keep sort of buying these. Not, I mean, look, if you want to build something, you want to build something. Oh, but yeah, like, sure. It just seems very odd to me that these things exist. But maybe, but the thing is, they own 120 whatever studios it is, right? But again, I guess the vast majority of those, or I guess Wonderlands, Tiny Tina Wonderlands probably came out underneath them technically. But
yeah, I assume so, right?
But I guess a lot of those might just be people who are making mobile games, doing this, that, and the other. You're not particularly, they're not all making AAA games, are they? So I guess you wouldn't pay attention to them in that sense, but it is just, yeah, mad.
It's a mad one. I mean, we want to talk about the ridiculousness of Square Enix selling Tomb Raider for $300 million, essentially, right? Which I think people are saying, like, is a bargain for Embracer Group, basically, at this point.
But the thing is, it is, but it's always difficult to talk about because we don't fully know the business realities involved, right?
Mm.
It seems from the outside cheap, mainly because you can compare it to other things that are going on right now in the industry. You're looking at Bungie being bought. You're looking at even Gearbox cost Embracer 1 billion. Yeah. It's so you look at it and you say, it seems like is
for one of the biggest IPs in gaming,
Eidos Montreal, and the IPs that you're talking about, are they worth four times less than what Gearbox are worth? Probably not, right?
Almost definitely not.
The thing is, though, you have to ask yourself, why would Square be so willing to sell at that price? Because the thing is if it was so cheap, you just leak it out. This is a football thing, right? This is a football thing. Okay, when football clubs when they wanna raise the price of their players, you just leak to the press that Man United are trying to buy your player for 15 million when actually you think you can get more like 30, and then all of a sudden people go, "Oh, he's available for 15," and then you start a bidding war. Realistically, if it was worth significantly more than that, there's ways in which you could get that bidding war going. And I know a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, something like that, maybe a bit longer, rumors were going round that Sony were trying to buy Square.
There's that rumor.
Which is one of those things where it's not been proven to be accurate in any way, shape, or form. But you could look at this and say, were Sony involved in trying to buy the bits that Embracer bought? Was this some sort of bidding war that was going on? What was going on? But it seems cheap. 300 million seems cheap. But it also screams of, we just want to get this off our books at this point. Because if it is that cheap, like you say, Tomb Raider, things like that, they've just started making a new Tomb Raider.
They announced a couple of weeks ago.
They're making
a new Tomb Raider. And as far as I'm aware, the development on that new Tomb Raider game is still going ahead. That's what they've set out. We're still making
it. It's such an odd situation where it seems like not enough, but also at the same time, then what are Square doing? Because clearly they just wanted it off their books.
Clearly. And it's weird that that is the case. I guess, I don't know. It's not that weird considering I think everything that was published via, you know, Crystal Dynamics and Eidos, they mentioned publicly were disappointments financially, right? Like every single game, I think, that
Square Enix does.
I mean, it is what Square Enix does. But it's every single, like, even like the Tomb Raider game, which sold 10 million units, which is, you know, absurd. Like, that's actually really, really good. That's, I think I was talking to someone online, and we were working out, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake, which isn't a financial disappointment, according to Square Enix, sold, at best, about 7 million. Like, the only proof we have is that it sold 5 million, definitely on PS4. It's not taken into account PC copies or PS5 copies. We know that it sold 5 million. That's not a financial disappointment. But Tomb Raider sold 10 million, the same as the best selling Final Fantasy game, which is Final Fantasy VII originally. How is that even? I guess they just don't know how to publish things, right?
Maybe. I mean, it's also how much money you're putting into it, right?
True. And obviously to sort of link it to the story from last week about Balan Wonderworld, another Square Enix published game. There's clearly issues within Square Enix's publishing house when it comes to, you know, just developers in general, I think, or like games like being genuinely disastrous or failures in some way, shape or form. Like, it's surprising something like Guardians of the Galaxy even managed to come out.
Games are sick, Adam, and we need to heal them.
The games are sick, yes. Yeah, maybe. Like, it's a surprise. I genuinely surprised that Life is Strange has managed to continue to be so successful despite every other third party or every other, you know, external Square Enix developed game is
but it's also genuinely been significantly cheaper to make.
I imagine it is as well, because they're not the cutting edge games. They're not, you know, I assume the to be fair, I think most of the budget probably goes on licensed music for those games as well. Likely the case there. I mean, the most recent one has blooming like licensed music out the arse. It's Kings of Leon, yeah. It's Kings of Leon everywhere. There's a whole scene with no music because I played it in streamer mode.
Yes. It's very awkward. They're dancing around and it's just,
there's nothing happening. It's hilarious.
It's I can't believe it exists.
it doesn't sound like, I can't believe you would make
something that specific and then not come up with a workaround for it. But you know, that's what they did.
The whole game is basically silence on streamer mode as well. It's really bad. I had to stop it and just play it normally. But yeah, I think the other thing that they were saying in this is that Square Enix wanted to focus on blockchain technologies, as well as, I think they said, AI and some other stuff. A lot of people...
By the way, I was just going to bring it up. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy also didn't meet their sales expectations.
No, it didn't, but it was successful critically, not commercially.
Yeah, but lots of things are successful critically, but don't meet their sales expectations. Which again suggests they put way too much money into it.
Yeah. But I mean, more so than Avengers anyway, right? More so than the last Deus Ex game. But even... Eidos have ever done as well. I think Guardians of the Galaxy was the most critically successful.
I reckon the last Deus Ex game pushed it.
Really? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The second Deus Ex game was pretty well received.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
The first one, you're having an issue, but the second one was pretty well received.
I'm sure. Fair enough. They also mentioned that they were going to work on the blockchain stuff, which has basically got people talking about how Square Enix sold Tomb Raider to make NFTs, which is not necessarily the case, but it could be. What do you think? NFTs? Final Fantasy NFTs, anyone?
No.
You're not going to buy a digital Cloud Strife, but you can randomize his hair and his weapon this time, and
no,
that's going to cost you $200 million?
No. The very idea makes me want to slaughter a colony of people.
Fair play.
I don't know if you can say fair play after that.
Preferably the people who thought that was a good idea to poison the world with.
NFTs are a mistake.
Awful.
I don't know if after Louis said that, you can go, fair play.
You can.
I just wanted to bring that up one more time. I'm not sure you could probably...
I mean, we all know it's not going to happen, so it's fine.
that makes it okay.
Yeah, I know.
That makes it okay.
Oh dear. People Can Fly have also confirmed that Outriders didn't make a profit in 2021.
Oh my.
Yeah, no.
The bad game didn't make a profit.
As we were saying earlier, like some people did enjoy that, some people didn't. I mean, we played it early access, was it?
Yeah.
When it came out, and it wasn't particularly good at all.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying when it came out, everyone went, "Oh my god, it's actually amazing." Yeah. I'm just saying, like, the original thing when you were playing it, and everyone was like,
"Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
This is bad," and then it came out, and everyone was like, "This is good, fine."
Yeah.
This is okay for a couple of weeks, and then they stop playing it.
True. What do you think the future for Square Enix is after this?
Final Fantasy?
Death.
I mean, it doesn't have anything much else. It's got Final Fantasy, it's got Kingdom Hearts, it's got a bunch of internal development teams and games, but do you think they're going to die, Louis?
No, I don't think they're going to die.
Do you think they have any... do you think things will get better or worse within the company is what I guess what I mean? Do you think this is a wake-up call, or do you think they're like on the straight and narrow to getting to a point where they're just honestly that bad?
I mean, realistically, it's one of those things where the blockchain stuff is just them saying stuff to make investors happy. That's all that is.
I mean, potentially.
Like, I can't see a situation in which Square honestly goes, let's sell Tomb Raider so we can make blockchain. Like, I think that's just people go, that's actually, if you're in a situation where you have investors and you're selling off Tomb Raider, you better have a flipping something to say why that will make them not panic massively. And the answer there is to just go, yeah, and we're going to use that money to invest in the blockchain, and that'll just make investors shut up.
Sure, I guess they're like, we're investing in this, and everyone's like, sure.
Yeah, it's to stop people panicking. I personally don't think it's anything to be read into. Square Enix as a whole is in this, it's just going to carry on doing what it's doing now, just without
the
Eidos
stuff, yeah.
Without having to think about Deus Ex, without having to think of...
I mean, they weren't thinking about it much anyway, were they?
They tried to. They did
at one point in there, but I think Tomb Raider went well.
Without thinking about Tomb Raider or whatever, and, you know, as it doesn't entirely surprise me that they sell it off for cheap right as they start making another Tomb Raider game, because, again, it screams, we do not want this on our books anymore, let's just get this the F away. So someone else, because they clearly didn't want to put, there was clearly an amount of money, right, which they put into those things, which was too much for what they, which was too much.
I mean, that's
for
why
they are actually getting back.
That's why they said that it was a financial disappointment, right? Because they were clearly over budget.
Well, they were putting more money into it than they were getting back, right? Clearly. Now, they might be making profit on it, but they might be not thinking, oh, it's worth this much money to us.
Of course.
And I don't think it's entirely surprising that right as the new thing that has never lived up to their financial expectations is starting, they go, right, let's get this out of the door. I think it's more, there's like, obviously there's these constant questions and rumors about the idea of like, will Square be bought by Sony, which I don't think is going to happen, but it seems to not go away as a concept. Like, what are they going to look like? I think the reality is it'll be exactly the same. It's just instead of having to think about anything outside of Japan, they'll just concentrate on their big franchises.
Mm-hmm. And publish just, like, you know, the occasional thing that is, you know, I guess going to make them money, I suppose.
Yeah, they'll release their 18 Final Fantasy games and you know, a year and do their thing. Well, not a year, but two or three a year and do their thing, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like mobile games and whatever as well, right? I think a lot of people were talking about the NFT thing, and I was like, I don't see it happening in like Final Fantasy games. Like, I don't see anything like that happening in like Final Fantasy 16 or 17 or whatever.
It'd be something separate. It'll be a Final Fantasy game that...
I imagine it happening in mobile games, because they've mobile gacha games at the moment. Like, they must have like 10 ongoing at any one time. Like, they genuinely have way too many. And not even just Final Fantasy as well. I think they've got, like, 4 or 5 Final Fantasy mobile games going on. But also, like, a couple of Kingdom Hearts mobile games, one that's just been announced. Star Ocean, Saga, just, like, Dragon Quest stuff. Bazillions of... There's, like, 2 Nier mobile games. Ridiculous, right? Like, how long is it before Square Enix just goes, hey, this is where our... Like, we're going to put NFTs in those things, and people are going to... We're going to, like, prey on those whales a little bit more, and... I think that... The only worry in terms of that for people who actually play, like full-on, like, major releases is whether or not it ends up encroaching into something like Final Fantasy XIV, which I don't think it will, at the moment, but they also have a pretty not great cash shop, so you know.
XIV maybe, but I doubt. We'll see.
It's all dependent. I think it's all dependent on how well it goes down. If they were to ever do it, it would be dependent on how well it goes down in mobile cases.
And the problem is that there's like 8 steps to go.
Yeah.
If they're starting now.
Yeah.
There's like 8 steps before we even see any of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And between that and the time, I think I don't know how the resentment's going to go with that stuff, but...
Because I think it's clear that gamers don't want NFTs, right? I think it's pretty clear.
I think it's clear right now there's a vocal section of people who don't want NFTs.
Sure, yeah, maybe. I think there's probably also...
What that translates into,
big group of people who don't care or don't know and stuff like that as well, right?
I think there's, and then I think there's also the idea, as is forever, where there's an amount of money, which means they don't care if you don't care.
Mm.
And if they can make that amount, like, horse armor was widely despised, and yet now that's practically all of what DLC is. I think it's obviously cheaper now, but there's an amount of money in which if they do it, they could make, which I think would make it worth it for them. And it's whether or not you can make that amount of money. And we've not really, in mainstream big games, seen that yet. There's been
Ubisoft games, right? Ubisoft has...
There's been a lot of small things that have come out on mobile, on this, on that, which have blockchain, NFT stuff involved. But there's been nothing like... Nothing on the console.
And also nothing particularly successful either, as far as I'm aware. Like, I think that Ubisoft did something for Ghost Recon, and then it went back on that. They've had the Ubisoft Quartz thing, which hasn't gone particularly well. I think that's just in Ubisoft's Ghost Recon Breakpoint for 4 months. That was what it happened. Yeah, Ubisoft. This is a story from Ars Technica. Ubisoft first experiment with non-fungible tokens called Quartz Digits in Ghost Recon Breakpoint, already winding down just 4 months after it started. Shows that, you know, fans of at least Ubisoft property not super interested in doing it. I think the reports there, they only sold 15, which I don't know how much that ends up in profit for them, but hey.
Again, it's one of those things where we haven't really seen it fully yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once people stop just dipping their toes in the water and actually jump in, we'll see. Ubisoft gave it a shot and didn't, but you know,
they kind of gave it a shot and then like dipped their toe in and then sort of almost immediately went, oh, I don't want to do that anymore, like after feeling it wasn't immediately the most successful thing that they'd ever done. I guess talking about like acquisitions and stuff. People are talking about Ubisoft again for some reason. I can't remember what exactly it was. I think someone saying, yeah, they're not considering being acquired, but they are trying to find people to help fund Ubisoft. Because there were claims about a potential takeover. Company's founding Guillemot family is considering teaming up with a private equity firm to acquire the company. As reported in Video Games Chronicle a couple of days ago. So, I don't know. Like, I know that we... There's, like, the Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard thing and people talking about Sony buying Square Enix and even people buying Ubisoft. I'm pretty sure all three of us are sort of not pro just randomly buy companies. But I don't know if you guys have any interest in any interesting thoughts on anyone acquiring Ubisoft or Square or anything like that.
I mean, the Square Enix stuff, the Eidos stuff, is like interesting to me, because I'm like, if you try to make these franchises and they literally never meet your expectations,
yeah,
maybe it's best someone else just owns it.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that as well, right?
Like, and I think it's one of those things where there are obviously, when it's Bethesda getting bought, then no. Like, it's one of those ones where that is just consolidation for consolidation's sake, right?
Mm.
That is just one company buying another very successful company and trying to thing. Like, from a consumer standpoint, yeah, sure, I get to play their games on Game Pass now, which helps, but,
sure,
like, realistically, I'm not super for that. But when it's something that clearly isn't working and isn't just, and they're selling for this cheap, then it's probably a good thing. Ubisoft, listen, if someone's bought them and was like, yeah, we're not going to do any NFTs anymore, then it's probably a good thing. But at the same time, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's, with anything else, Square Enix being bought as a whole, Ubisoft getting bought, a lot of this is just rumors that get put out and just exist. And I think we're only going to continue to see that. Sony this week started hiring for an acquisitions officer.
Really?
I think it was officer or manager. I can't remember what the exact role was. Mm. But basically someone who was looking at the in the job description, it was like looking out for acquisition and investment opportunities, right? And I think you're only going to see more stuff like that. Mm. You also have like the FTC looking into the Bungie acquisition and looking into the Bethesda acquisition. So this idea of like acquisitions is going to stay in the sort of cultural mindshare of the video game industry for a while. Even if there were no more acquisitions, it's still going to sort of just be in the background being thought about all of the time.
Mm.
And I think this idea of these rumors are just going to keep coming up nonstop.
I also think it's weird that a lot of I guess gamers want some of these acquisitions to happen as well, like especially who are playing on the sort of console wars thing. But not even just that, like there was a tweet from Jeff Keighley when the Activision Blizzard thing happened, like basically approving of acquisitions, right? It's weird.
Video games live in hype.
Yes.
The online space lives in hype. And there's nothing quite as hype as Xbox going, right, we're going to buy Bethesda.
We're going to buy Activision Blizzard King.
You know, these things are just sort of insanity that just sort of exists. It's like, it's something that's just like, holy crap, you live on the next season. That's like, so you have the people who are console wars, you have the people who are hype. It's, you know.
And there are obviously plenty of like Sony fans who would love Sony to go in and just buy Final Fantasy, right? And make that like a big exclusive for PlayStation 5 forever.
Yeah.
You know, just as many as people who would love exclusive Assassin's Creed, I guess, or whatever else people like from Ubisoft. It's, I don't know. I always find it kind of uncomfortable, especially when we're talking about big companies like Square Enix and Ubisoft. I was very uncomfortable with Activision Blizzard being bought, but then I also find it a bit strange that anyone would want to buy Activision Blizzard. And I guess buying for the IPs is, I don't know, buying a company that's sort of mired in controversy. I guess the same thing goes for Ubisoft at the moment, right, with the whole covering up sexual assault in the workplace and stuff.
Well, that's one way of putting it. But I think it's also got that element of like excitement of what's coming next. And I think there's that sort of,
because for example,
I found it really, really weird that in the press release for the Square Enix deal that's just happened, I found it really weird that Legacy of Kain was brought up.
Yes.
Like, franchise has been dead for ages. Yeah. Like, there's, like, Thief is included in that deal, and Thief came out at least had a game come out in 2014.
Yeah.
Like, I find it really, and there's that idea of, like, when they bought it, everyone goes, oh, they might make another Legacy of Kain game, or when Xbox bought Activision, like, you might get a Spyro, you might get a Crash. There's all of these intangibles that just get people excited that probably would never exist or happen. But because realistically, if they're not making money, they're not getting made, and none of those were getting made, so they didn't make money. But yeah, it's
Legacy of Kain and Thief are the ones, like Tomb Raider, Deus Ex, Thief, and Legacy of Kain are the ones brought up. Which, you know, Deus Ex and Tomb Raider, understandable. Because they've had more recent games. Thief, also more recent game that I believe was a bit of a failure.
Legacy of Kain was weird.
It's not good.
No, I played
it out at the launch of the PS4 Xbox One generation and was very middling.
Yeah, I reviewed that game on my own blog and I found it not good. But
it was very 6.5 out of 10.
I think I gave it a 4.
I'm talking about if you're looking at a Metacritic, it was probably 6.5.
I noticed that they didn't bring up Gex though, which is very sad.
So why bring up Legacy of Kain and not Gex?
I know, right?
Legacy of Kain. Like, put respect on Gex's name, bruv.
We could be getting a new Gex done out here. I'm trying to find the list of the.
Also, speaking of like controversies and stuff, I think buying a company like Activision Blizzard, like at that time, is probably the best time to buy a company like Activision Blizzard because they're so huge and becoming so mired in controversy. Like, lowers their stock value tremendously. Yeah. And at that point, like knowing what they own, you'd be like, right, I want to try and get that, because let's be honest, the person who sat on that is thinking, well, I don't want to really be dealing with the controversy all that much. I'll just take the billions.
I mean, that's also probably fair. Like, they could just take something, right? They could just be like, hey, let's buy Activision Blizzard, take Overwatch and shut it down or whatever, right? Because then they have all the IPs, and then, I mean, to be fair, I think that's probably one of the better ways to work it, mostly because of the allegations. You look like a hero in that case, right? Not necessarily a hero, but like, you look good going, hey, we're going to buy Activision Blizzard, take all of their IPs and shut it down because of all these reasons, instead of doing an EA in which they go, we're going to take a studio, buy all of their IPs and then shut them down for no reason.
Yeah, that's kind of not good. I don't approve.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's that, I guess. For the day. We've done the video games. Are we all happy?
No. I'm more upset than ever.
I mean, good. That was the aim, right? I forgot that the Square Enix already sold Hitman, didn't they, as well?
Hitman back to IO,
or whatever their company is now.
IO.
Yeah. Is it still IO? I thought it was something else, but...
No, it's IO Interactive, yeah.
Ah, fair enough.
They just let them go, basically. They let them essentially buy themselves, and now they just went off and then they gave them the Hitman license. We can say a lot of things about how
they weren't going to do anything with Hitman. Time.
No, but that's a company thing to do. You let them go, but then you just keep the IP. Yeah. And they kept the other IP. What's the other one called? Mini Ninja.
But they
were like, do you know what, Hitman, you can just have it, go forth, which is maybe, you can say a lot about Square, but that was an incredibly altruist, correct thing to do.
Is it that they were nice, or is it more that they just thought, fuck it, I don't want to do anything on this, let's keep Mini Ninjas instead? I don't know, like, it's such a weird...
But that's what you do, you hoard IP, right? You don't...
Yeah.
Hitman's was one of their biggest, was the biggest thing that studio had ever made.
Why do they keep Mini Ninjas?
Because no one's going to make Mini Ninjas. But you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, that's like a, like, damn, fair enough.
I guess so, yeah.
If that's the thing you want to do. But they let Hitman go, and then Hitman actually flourished because of it, so.
Yeah, true.
You know?
Yeah. One of those, I guess. Louis, do you have a book for us?
I did.
You did?
That's very past tense of you.
I know, he doesn't have it anymore.
No. Where is it? This is the Thalmor's information dossier. of Ulfric's Stormcloak.
We're getting some lore. We're getting some deep lore on Skyrim today.
Stasis, asset, uncooperative, dormant, emissary level approval. Description: Jarl of Windhelm, leader of the Stormcloak Rebellion, Imperial Legion veteran. Background: Ulfric first came to our attention during the First War against the Empire, when he was taken as a prisoner of the war during the campaign for the White Gold Tower. Under interrogation, we learned of his potential value, son of the Jarl of Windhelm, and he was assigned as an asset to the interrogator, who is now First Emissary Elloman. He was made to believe information obtained during his interrogation was crucial in the capture of the Imperial City. The city had in fact fallen before he had broken, and then allowed to escape. After the war, contact was established, and he has proven his worth as an asset. The so-called Markarth incident was particularly valuable from the point of view of our strategic goals in Skyrim, although it resulted in Ulfric becoming generally uncooperative to direct contact. Operational notes: direct contact remains a possibility under extreme circumstances, but in general, the asset should be considered dormant. As long as the civil war proceeds in its current indecisive fashion, we should remain hands-off. The incident at Helgen is an example where an exception had to be made. Obviously, Ulfric's death would have dramatically increased the chance of an Imperial victory and thus harmed our overall position in Skyrim. Note: the coincidental intervention of the dragon at Helgen is still under scrutiny. The obvious conclusion is that whoever is behind the dragons also has an interest in the continuation of the war, but we should not assume, therefore, that their goals align with our own. A Stormcloak victory is also to be avoided, however. So even indirect aid to the Stormcloaks must be carefully managed. So, far more bad people.
They're baddies.
They want the war to go on to weaken both sides so they can attack the Empire again.
Thalmor equals bad, guys. Remember, Thalmor equals bad. Thank you very much, everyone. That was our podcast for today. If you have enjoyed it, please give us a little subscribe on YouTube, or you can give us a follow on your favorite podcast platform. We'll be back next week for some more podcast action, I guess. But until then, thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
Bye.
Safe.